I suppose there's many sorts of people in the world. You have people who, you know, if you lit a fire under them, you couldn't get them out of their bed in the morning. And then at the other end of that scale, you have people who pursue perfection and who try to do everything as well as they possibly can all the time, all their lives. And that in itself can lead to a pretty stressful or pretty anxious situation. So with that in mind, we've asked Richard Burke from Safe Harbour to come into us today and have a chat about these type of people, the people who pursue perfection and who can't ever countenance second best being enough. Richard, welcome back to the programme.
Thanks, Ian.
Would you have these sort of characters walking through the door to you in your clinic very often?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hugely common. I suppose it's a classical A-type character, and I'm kind of like that myself, even though I'm a therapist.
An A-type character?
Yeah, you're an A-type character. You want things a certain way. You're a very driven sort of a person, you know. Very often kind of head down, bum up, you know, kind of go, go, go.
Yeah.
Always internalises problems. Like we talk to ourselves a lot. Mm. We kind of push ourselves to the limit of wanting everything to be absolutely perfect. Mm. And what happens then is you start to crack. Things start to creak and things start to crack. And people like myself who are that type of person, you need to find some coping mechanisms to try and... You can't completely switch it off. You can't become a slob. Mm. There's nothing to do with being tidy. This has got to do with how driven you are in your
That's
mind.
Right, yeah.
And about having to have everything perfect.
With the standards you set for yourself.
Standards you set for yourself, yeah.
But I mean, usually I presume that these sort of people arrive at this point, this kind of crisis point, after years of laying down the law for themselves, after years of setting goals, like be it in school or in college or in work or whatever aspect of life it is, that you have to be the best. So, I mean, when you have somebody who's architecture, you just used the word there, is as structured and as rigid as it is, how do you introduce a bit of slack to that scenario?
There's lots of different ways. But people aren't going to like listening to this. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I need to do myself was to learn to meditate. Mm-hmm. As my wife would say, take my own medicine.
Yes.
You know, go to the clinic myself, put on a CD that a friend of mine might have made for me.
Yes.
And listen to it. Yeah. And even though I will dish out this advice on your show, very often as that type of character myself, mm-hmm. I'd be the least kind to myself and the most kind to other people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of typical of it as well. Mm-hmm. Taking time out for yourself, trying to learn to be some way constructively selfish. Also trying to change your global metaphor. What I mean by this is, if you imagine a scale of severity between 0 at the bottom and 10 at the top, mm. and I used to say to you, you know, how important is your work? Well, Richard, work is like life. Mm. You know, that's probably about a 9.
Yeah.
Work is like death is probably about a 10, okay? Nobody goes there.
Yeah.
So work is like life means it's really, really serious. So your subconscious mind, which has no sense of humour, believes... As you keep practicing it repetitively, that work is like life, or my studying is like life, my leaving cert is like life, whatever it is, you can't fail at life.
Yeah, but Richard, I get the analogy you're making here, but what these people have managed to do is achieve so much along the way.
Yeah.
They've really scored highly.
Yeah.
These are the overachievers in life we're talking about.
Yes.
So why are they not... And why is the subconscious not happy with their achievements as their goals?
It's very happy. But the problem is now, do you remember the conversation says you have it? The conscious mind has a conversation with the subconscious mind.
Yeah.
So the conscious mind says to the subconscious mind, I want this, I want this, I want this.
Mm.
Your subconscious mind's job is to give you what you want. You also tell your subconscious mind that my work is like my life.
Yeah.
It's really, really important. So your subconscious mind puts all its efforts into it. And then you get the secondary gains attached to it. You get the money, you get the house, you get the car, you get the different activities and the status in society, et cetera, et cetera. Now you want to put on the brakes a bit and your subconscious mind is going, oh, hang on now. You know, you've been driving me nuts for the last 15 years. We're going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So it's just a change the conversation. So go back to what I said to you a second ago. It's just diluting your global metaphor a small bit. Instead of saying work is like life, you could say work is like a game.
Mm.
It's much healthier because you can win some, you lose some. You always try your best. Some days you play better than others. And it's a really, really powerful one. So if people are listening to this and they're kind of thinking to themselves, you know, what metaphors do I use when I go into work or for my life? That's the bedrock that your health is kind of based upon. And it's one of the things I actually did myself. And like when I went to the clinic, I say, you know, my work is like a game.
Mm.
Some days I play a better game than other days.
Yes.
Some days I'm a superstar.
Yeah.
Some days I'm not. Some days I find it more difficult.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's to try and get that little bubble of slack inside your mind whereby it's okay for Richard's mind to be 95% productive or 90% productive, but 100% you're just
going to
crack.
Because you are just going to crack, and that's the very problem. But I mean, there has to be, I suppose, if you allow the 95%, that little kind of bubble of air in the middle of the jar of water, if that's a good analogy. I don't think it is, but anyway, if you allow that, at least there's
Brian, name and title.
At least there's a bit of slack
Exactly.
That could be achieved.
And the very first thing your mind will do, it will attack this space, because it will say, that's some waste of space. I could be doing something with that.
Right.
I could be productive with this space. So you have to defend it.
Yeah.
You have to defend it from everybody, including yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe another analogy would be, I mean, you know that in certain countries where they have earthquakes, the buildings come straight down
because
they're not properly built. But in other countries, they've actually built in this little bit of slack, this little bit of elasticity into the buildings. So it's perhaps to achieve a way that you can allow that elasticity in your mind.
The elasticity comes from the conversations you have with yourself. And okay. Go back to what we said, we spoke of this before. The conversation you have with yourself on a daily basis, privately, you know, as I drive home, as I'm in the clinic, in my own head, I have it all day, so do you. Mm. So does everybody else who's listening to this. Mm. Those conversations dictate how you feel. Mm. People say, I'm just chatting to myself. But how you feel about yourself really comes from that conversation.
To the tone of those conversations. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you make a mistake at work, or and there's very few places where mistakes can't be allowed. Mm-hmm. Like mostly, more often than not, a mistake is an opportunity to do it differently.
Yeah.
Rather than somebody actually dying. Mm. Most times things don't happen because of mistakes.
Yeah.
So the conversation, if you're constantly beating yourself up all the time, your mind will strive for that perfection. Yeah. And that's where the stress comes from. It comes from the rules you have inside your head. I don't mean being the slob and saying, I don't care.
Mm.
It's a case of, look, I messed it up there. Okay, I'll do this differently next time. And kind of forgive yourself.
Yeah, rule number one, be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself, yeah.
Be kind to yourself. If you can do that, you won't crack up, hopefully.
Exactly.
Which is the aim of the game at the end of the day. Like, yeah, to try and keep.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. Trying to keep the brains in the straight and narrow. Richard, great to talk to you as ever. Richard Burke there from safeharbor.ie.